What's up, everybody? And we are back with another special episode of Beyond the Numbers. And this is a unique segment. I think it'll be special. This is what I'm going to refer to as player profiles. This particular style of episode brought to you by me, Ben, and my partner, Will, over here. Yes, sir. This is where we can talk about players of different sports. It's not just one or the other. They can be players that have been in the leagues, in their league and retire, whatever it may be. They're still playing, maybe up-and-comers that are in college. I know we don't do a lot of college talk yet, but different things along those lines. So this episode is definitely not going to be talking about teams as a team performance thing, but talking about the careers, the things to note about these players, memorable moments, statistical feats, awards, etc. So I'm going to kick this one off, and I'm going to start with Aaron Rodgers. So as I've said before, I'm a Packers fan. Aaron Rodgers was not only a suitable replacement for Brett Favre, but honestly, in many ways, in my opinion, equal to Brett Favre. Brett Favre was a gunslinger. The man was great, but Rodgers added a new level to it. The Packers, they stuck with him for many good reasons. I wish we would have got more than one Super Bowl out of him, but he still plays. The man went to the Jets, played through he got injured his first year and never would have knew what that year would look like for him. And then he goes into his second year with the Jets. Wasn't that special. Not that it was entirely his fault. Some of that was team performance, but like I said, we're not here to talk about team performances. We're here to talk about players. And Aaron Rodgers is, in my opinion, one of those defining players that we would refer to when we talk about resilience. He has played through injuries. He has shown that he can be a dominant force even when he's struggling to stay healthy. He's not a young quarterback anymore. And honestly, I think Rodgers many times was often overshadowed by guys like Brady because Brady was out here winning the Super Bowls. But Rodgers is a personal favorite of mine, regardless that he went to the Jets and now that he's with the Steelers, who ironically he beat in his one Super Bowl win. But I think of quarterbacks in the league. I think of the Packers quarterbacks that I've got to watch play, and Aaron Rodgers will always be up there as probably my favorite. This man has a resume as a quarterback, and there is no doubt about it that he is one of the best to do it. He's a 10-time Pro Bowl quarterback. It's 10 seasons, 4 times All-Pro, one time Super Bowl champ, 4 time Pro MVP, 4 time MVP, Super Bowl MVP, Hall of Fame, All 2010s team. He won the 2011 Burt Bell Award. He won the 2011 Offensive Player of the Year. And many, many more. This man has been truly one of the most dominant quarterbacks in this era. He is the only player in NFL history with over 400 passing touchdowns. That's crazy, and a career pass rating of 100 or better. Those two are together. So when you look at that, you're talking about a man who is consistent. He doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. It's one of the things that he prides himself on. And it is definitely unquestionable, in my opinion, that he is one of the best quarterbacks that has played the game. I mean, you go and you look back at his career and you realize, like, his first couple of years, right, he didn't start. In 2005, you know, he came in, he was behind Brett Favre. He didn't really start playing until 2008. Well, really one of the handful of bad years that he's had in his career was his first year. And really the crazy part is it wasn't like it was that bad. I mean, I look back at that game and, you know, he had 28 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. That's not a great number, but you start to look at the record. They were 6-10. It was a much different team back then. The following year, they went 11-5. He went 30 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Rodgers, from the very get-go, when he started, when he took over in Green Bay, he was a force to be reckoned with. And wasn't that long after that he got himself Super Bowl. And most of his, there's only been, and this is something I think is very interesting, he's only had out of all of his career, he's had 1, 2, 4 seasons where he's had double digit interceptions. The rest of his long career, he's had less than 10 interceptions. And honestly, the only one that was remarkably close in touchdown to interception ratio was in 2017, when he only played 7 games and where he threw 16 touchdowns to 2 interceptions, or 6 interceptions. That is the closest, and that was when he only played half a year. Every other one, phenomenal. 2020, he threw 48 touchdowns and only 5 interceptions. And I mean, I could go on and on down this list of these different things that he's done, but in 21 years, he's thrown 511 touchdowns, 119 interceptions. That is a 5-1 ratio. That is crazy. Aaron Rodgers' biggest flaw, though, is what he does with the ball when he's struggling and he's under pressure. Rodgers, as the seasons went along, one of the things that I feel like he started to do was he would give up on the plays. You get a third and short, you know, he wouldn't necessarily tuck it and run it. He wouldn't make a risky throw. He would throw the ball out of bounds. And it was so frustrating, especially the last couple of years in Green Bay, where you'd watch him make a play that 3, 4, 5 years before that would have turned into something crazy. I mean, we all got to remember the season where he had like 3 or 4, I believe it was, Hail Marys that won games. Just insanity. That was prime Rodgers. And after that, the offensive line struggles that he worked with, the up and downs of the running game, the coaching, because in my opinion, Mike McCarthy was a big part of the reason that he only won one Super Bowl, because McCarthy didn't really win that Super Bowl as a coach. It wasn't McCarthy. And Rodgers, after that Super Bowl, no matter what his performances were, like 2011, the year after he gets a Super Bowl, 45 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. No Super Bowl. They went 14-1. 14-1 with his record, because I'm sorry, he missed a game. But 14-1 as the quarterback that year. Did not get a Super Bowl. I don't know. There are things when I look at Rodgers' career and I look at as, you know, in Green Bay, so many winning years. 11-5, 10-5, 14-1, 11-5. He had a 6-3, but he only played 9 games. 12-4, 10-6, 10-6, 7 game year, 4-3. He's winning more than he's losing. Outside of his first year, there's only been really one year, and that was in 2018, where it was just a rough year. Mind you, he threw 25 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, and he played all 16 games, but they went 6-9-1. That was a rough year. I don't remember for sure, but I want to say that was the year that's 2018. I think that's the weird year where we still slipped into the playoffs. I might be wrong. But 13-3, 13-3, 13-3. His last 4 seasons in Green Bay, 13-3, 13-3, 13-3, 8-9. He had his best season, not the last season in Green Bay, but the year before. 48 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. That's pretty much his best season. And yet, no Super Bowl. Rodgers is the epitome of just cool, calm, and collected. But then he's also the same guy who throws the ball out of bounds because he doesn't want to take a chance and throw an interception. Aaron Rodgers is that quarterback that you want leading your team down the field in a game-winning drive until he's got to throw a ball in a position to where it would be an interception or it's better to throw it away. He's going to pick throw it away more oftentimes than not. I think right now in Pittsburgh, this is the most bold he's been in years. I mean, we talked about that game the other day where he hit his little smelling salts and yeeted a ball like it was his first year starting again. He doesn't do that, and yet he did. And it worked. He took a risk, and it paid off because DK Metcalf and him they were in sync, and boom, it was over. I don't know about you, Will, but when I look at quarterbacks that have been in the league, that are still in the league at this time, that older quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback that any team should want to have to get them a win, to get them in a spot to go into the playoffs, to get a shot at a Super Bowl. If you're going to pick a veteran quarterback, Rodgers is the guy, and he is one of those that will absolutely just light it up. He is 42 years old, sir. 42 years old, playing in Pittsburgh like he's got young energy again. And he's out here trying to get himself a Super Bowl. He's got 8 touchdowns, 3 interceptions so far on this year, and he is not looking to stop. I think this will be a year where we will see a very close percentage when it comes to touchdowns and interceptions. Last year, and with the Jets, for a full season of playing, his 5-12 record, there is a reflectiveness of his 28 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. But you look at the team he had to play with, and there is some wiggle room to say that it wasn't all him. But I don't know. It's mind-boggling to me that Aaron Rodgers doesn't have at least 2, if not 3 rings. I just, when I see some of these numbers that are just insane, remembering the MVP years, I don't know. His 1.4 interception percentage is a all-time career record. 21 years of playing. Aaron Rodgers led the league in many categories throughout the year. Almost every season he played, there's only a few of them where he didn't lead the league in at least 1 or 2 categories. Whether it was touchdowns, whether it was the interception percentage, touchdown percentage, his average of yardage, his QBR rating, he's led the league 3 times in QBR. One of the only things that he's never truly done, I guess, is led the league in yards in a season as a quarterback. He's never had a single year where he's been the number one in yards thrown, which is crazy because, I mean, he's had years where he's been pushing. He had one year where he was 4,643 yards, and he still didn't take that. That was back in 2011, so we all know there were some really, really good quarterbacks back then, like Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. And Philip Rivers was throwing the ball a lot back then. There's just a lot of quarterbacks I don't even think about nowadays. Like, I think Alex Smith was having a good time then. Good Lord. Just a lot. But yet, he's never once had been the number one in yards as a quarterback. He's had just such a good career. And I don't know. When I look at it, I just think to myself, I'm like, you know, this is a man who is such an elite quarterback. And I even though I don't want Pittsburgh to do it, I hope he still gets one more ring. That's all I'm going to end my rant on Rodgers. I have a love-hate relationship with him, but I still wish that I hope for him to get himself another ring.
Okay, sir. That was quite the rant. You already know how I feel about Rodgers. I think Rodgers still got something in him that could take the Steelers far. So
there's one thing I did want to point out that I think was interesting. I think Aaron Rodgers in college, he was not, in my opinion, he wasn't that phenomenal of a quarterback. When he got drafted to Green Bay, he went in the first round. He's 24th overall in the 2005 draft. I don't know that a lot of people were a super big fan of him, because, and the reason I say that is because we still wanted Brett Favre. Okay, so people didn't want to see Brett Favre's legacy end. And it was the same way with Rodgers when they drafted Jordan Love. Jordan Love said under Aaron Rodgers, a lot of hate was sent towards the Packers coaching staff and management because of that. But honestly, I can't think of a guy that I would say I'd rather see, you know, coming out of a situation like that, having been through it himself, the way that he handled himself in Green Bay after that with the draft of Jordan Love. I think it was remarkable. And for him to come in just like Jordan Love, not necessarily the best quarterback, I definitely think there's something to be said for the slight underdog. He may have not been the Mr. Irrelevant like Tom Brady was whenever he got drafted, but yeah, no. I think that was by far one of the best quarterbacks for how he handled how it was when he was drafted, and then he did the same thing for Love whenever Love got drafted. He may have never been the top guy ever, but in my opinion, he's one of the best.
Agreeable. Not here to argue. Aaron Rodgers is definitely one of my favorite quarterbacks to watch, even now. So, yeah. But as you were talking about Aaron Rodgers, I know I said I was going to go into a little bit about the rookies, my top rookies for this year, but I want to go talk about Tom Brady.
Okay.
Because you inspired me a little bit. Tom Brady's the reason why I actually watch football. At first, you could not catch me watching a football game anywhere even close to the TV screen when football was on. But the Patriots, when they were going on their legacy run, kind of changed my perspective on the game of football. So I really want to highlight Tom Brady. Of course, you know, it wasn't just Tom Brady on the team, but yeah, no.
Of course.
We all know who the GOAT was and who the GOAT still is, honestly. Because who's better? I don't see another quarterback beating him one-on-one in anything closely remotely related to football. And if we go into some of his stats, there's really nothing to go into. It's epic. That, like, what do you want? What do you want? He's giving you rushing. He's giving you receiving. He's giving you passing after passing after pass. Like, literally, who's the better passer than Tom Brady? Who was the one that was able to connect with any receiver that you put in front of him? Anyone. It's Tom Brady. Who do you trust when the game's on the line and you only got 2 minutes? Right now, it's Mahomes. But it used to be you better not give Brady that 2 minutes. Brady in the Super Bowl meant Brady gets the Super Bowl. You know? You couldn't bet against him.
He had a crazy comeback against the Falcons and whenever it was the two of them in the Super Bowl. I remember watching that game, and I thought Brady was done for. I really did. First half ended, and it was like, what, 24-3 or something like that. And I was like, man, this might be the beginning of the end. Because, I mean, you got to think, even back then, Brady was older. Brady feels like he's been an old man his entire career. Like, it's just crazy to me. But yeah, like that for me was the Super Bowl that like showed me like Brady's true dominance. Because let's be clear, that was Supreme era Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and the rest of the Falcons squad that just seemed to be untouchable. They destroyed them in the first half and even into the third quarter a little bit. But man, the patience Brady had with that second half, he just took every play he could get and he made something happen. I don't like Brady, but I'm on board with you when it comes down to it. There's not many things that you could question about him, whether he was a league leader in things or not. He is a league leader in Super Bowls.
And the thing is, like, there's really no question in his legacy at this point. The man went to another team and still delivered another one. Gave him a whole nother one. The man left his family, divorced his wife and all, just to give y'all football. You can't deny his greatness. I believe, what is it, 7 rings?
Yeah, is it 7 or 8? I don't know why.
I feel like it's 8, but I don't want to be inaccurate.
I don't remember. I lost count, to be entirely honest with Brady. And honestly, I'm surprised he doesn't have double digits. He was in more Super Bowls than he didn't win every Super Bowl he was in. So, I mean, let's be honest. He could have had 10 at this point, and it wouldn't have been. I mean, Eli Manning was his only real arch nemesis, I declare. Eli Manning in Super Bowls,
Eli was definitely a beast. Eli was definitely a beast. But like that man, Atlanta still has nightmares. Not Atlanta Falcons fans. The entire city of Atlanta still has nightmares.
You know what they should have done?
That 24-3.
They should have put a statue of Brady, honestly, there. They should put a statue of Brady right there by the Falcons Stadium. That's where it should be. Who owns Atlanta? Everybody's going to sit here and think of that Super Bowl. Honestly, that was a supreme Falcons team. Those couple of years before and after, the Falcons were one of those teams, man, especially going into that year. They were loaded. It's kind of crazy to think like they almost, I feel like if they would have won that Super Bowl, I think Brady's career would have changed drastically. However, he made that comeback, and I think that Super Bowl was the highlighting Super Bowl for Brady. That one was the one where he proved that he is a comeback player. He isn't just we get ahead and we stay ahead. No, he was, I'm down double digits. I'm down 3 touchdowns. I'm down 3 scores. I'm down multiple drives that I have to succeed, and then my defense has to do the job. He led that team, both offense and defense. Him and Belichick led them to that win. And by no means do I believe that that any other quarterback would have done that. I don't believe that it would have been possible. I think Brady's the only quarterback who could have rallied his team and just stuck to it, drive after drive after drive, struggle after struggle, and somehow makes a comeback. I watched every second of that game, and I remember some of the times where even in the second half, I'm like, oh, they're not going to do this. And then somehow somebody makes a diving catch, or a highly contested catch gets made that shouldn't have been made, or Brady just does what Brady does. They didn't need to run the ball. They just let Brady eat, and Brady ate like he was having a dinner with the king.
And Tom Brady is definitely one of my favorites. Of course, it's not like there's a there's a lot of debate to that, but
indeed,
when it comes down to me watching football and what changed everything, my perspective on it, because, you know, I was the fat kid So everybody expected me to be playing football. I'm like, bro, I don't even like football, bro. What the heck? Like, you know, so it just, watching that game definitely changed a different perspective for me. Watching Tom Brady throw the ball definitely changed a lot of stuff for me. And let me just say, I love to see it. I love to see that Tom Brady did what he did. I'm glad to see that his legacy is still intact. I'm glad to see that nobody can take it from him.
You know, Brady, a lot of the controversy around Brady, when you have somebody who succeeds at a level that, because let's be clear, the NFL is not an easy league to be in. It's not an easy sport to play. It's a very difficult sport. It's very physical. There's so many variables that come into play there, even beyond, you know, what one player may do. Brady's controversy wasn't just his. It was the team in general. There was a lot. Because when you have somebody who wins at a level where everybody is fighting to win and he makes it look like he did, sometimes they made it look easy, you're going to get a lot of hate. I can't stand Brady. Never could, but I respect his game. I can't stand Patrick Mahomes, but there ain't really any quarterbacks in the league that have done what Mahomes has done except for Brady. But currently in the league, none of them. There's not a single quarterback, not even Rodgers. Rodgers, as great as he is, has not done what Mahomes has done. And Mahomes has been in the league for like a fourth of the time Rodgers has been in. Mahomes, in my opinion, is Brady 2.0. I don't think he's going to be as good because a 2.0 is never going to be as good as the original. But Mahomes is unquestionably one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and I'm not going to profile Mahomes because, honestly, I don't want to, and too many people have done it, and they still do it. Mahomes this, Mahomes that. But just like Brady, there's always going to be controversy. The refs are giving it to the Chiefs, you know, and I've said it many a time. I get mad when the Chiefs win. I hate every Super Bowl they've won. I've watched them, and it makes me want to just – it makes me want to not watch football. There have been so many times where I've been like, are we really about to see this again? But at the end of the day, just like with Brady, you know, and mind you, Mahomes has lost them. He's lost Super Bowls too. But just like with Brady, I can't deny the greatness the man has done. So – I don't know.
Nor should you want to, honestly. It's a great thing to watch.
I want to so much because I can't stand it. I can't stand it. It's not because my team isn't winning. It isn't that. It's I don't like seeing the same thing over and over. I couldn't stand Brady winning Super Bowls in Tampa. Or I'm sorry, not Tampa, in New England. But when he went to Tampa, I loved it. I loved watching that. Him and Gronk and the after party. Boys were living it up. I loved it. It made me happy because for the first time I respected the Super Bowl beyond, okay, he has Bill Belichick. He has whatever it is in his favor, like because I was salty. No. When Tampa won, I loved to see it. Mahomes, after the first one, and then it just seemed like it was repeat with him, going back to the Super Bowl, win or loss. I got tired of it because in the AFC, you just sit there and say, well, we know it's going to be the Chiefs. Like, even last year, I loved watching the Eagles beat them, but it made me so mad seeing the stinking Chiefs in there. But whilst I can't stand watching Mahomes do anything, and I loved watching him get put on the ground, I still respect the game that he's played, the hustle that he has, and the way that he does stick through it even when he's hurt. He doesn't like to be on the sideline. He hates it. I see it on his face when things go wrong. He's a team leader. Him and Travis Kelce together have done some amazing things. But again, I don't want to get on the Mahomes rant. I think there is a comparison worth talking about there and why I think Brady is so elite and how even with Mahomes, you still are never going to find another player like Brady. Brady was, he was something special. And honestly, I think one of the things that a lot of people don't think about is who... who it was that Brady replaced. You remember who it was that he replaced, Will?
Not at all. Hold on. Nope.
Okay. Well, you should. The man that he replaced was Drew Bledsoe. Drew Bledsoe had went to 4 Super Bowls. 4. And lost all of them.
Well, that's probably why we don't remember him.
No. Bledsoe at that time was one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And honestly, he had, I would have put him up there if he'd have won them. I'd have put him up there with a guy like Joe Montana. Because I would love to talk about Joe Montana. The only quarterback I've ever cared for from the 49ers. And mind you, he played long before our time. But that man was the true embodiment of elite quarterbacks. The man had back-to-back wins of Super Bowls there in San Francisco. The dude was, at that time, yes, he had Jerry Rice. Yes, he wound up having some Terrell Owens, I believe, before Steve Young took over. Joe Montana, he is not talked about enough. We can talk about Terry Bradshaw, Roger Staubach. We can talk about Dan Marino. We can talk about, I think I hear Chad Pennington's name mentioned more. We could talk about, let's see, who else? God, there's so many of them, but I always forget half of them because, again, they were before our time. I wasn't even alive then. My dad was young. He was still a kid pretty much. I mean, but again, there are all of these guys that played in the league back then. And that was, in my opinion, that was truly the best time for football. It wasn't about the money. These dudes were out here just killing each other. They did not care. They didn't get paid crazy money. They didn't have the safety that the guys have today. The rules weren't friendly. The rules were just end them, take their life, slaughter them. And if you're on the offense, just survive, make it to the next, you know? So Joe Montana, best quarterback that's ever played, in my opinion. Short career, realistically, for what he played. But again, I think I might even lost where I was going there a little bit with it. But
you definitely lost me. I didn't even know we were going to be talking
Drew
about
Bledsoe,
that. Montana.
Drew Bledsoe had 4 Super Bowl appearances. Couldn't win a single one. He replaced Drew Bledsoe. And I think a lot of people, because he was Mr. Irrelevant, last pick of the draft, Mr. Irrelevant, Mr. Brady, turned into one of the biggest, most elite quarterbacks to ever play. Actually, the most elite, most dominant quarterback to play, even over Joe Montana. Drew Bledsoe was supposed to be that guy. Drew Bledsoe did not do it. Drew Bledsoe wasn't Mr. Irrelevant. Mr. Tom Brady was. Tom Brady said, ha-ha, sleep on me. So again, your pick of Tom Brady, I couldn't stand to watch him win. Never, I hate every single win he ever had. But that man is by far one of the
Hater.
Best.
Hater.
Huh?
Hater.
For sure. I'm a Tom Brady hater. There's no question. 100%. But
I can't be a Tom Brady hater. He made me love the game. So I'm going to go ahead and say that Tom Brady's the best, and I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to quickly touch on my last pick here, and that is going to be Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is currently playing. Of course, he's a younger quarterback. He's been in the league for a few years now. But he is one of my favorites. Part of it's because he played in Louisville. But I like Lamar. He's been through some tough stuff. He's been through some injuries, season-ending injuries, a couple of times. He has proven that he is a really good quarterback. Unfortunately, he has proven that as good as he is, there are things that he still needs to work on, things that he would have to do to pull the team together. But unfortunately, as great as that is, he hasn't got a Super Bowl. He's a quarterback that I see when he's out there. He plays with passion. He tries.
I was about to say, you long talking a whole lot. That Lamar.
Hey, listen.
He gets no more love out of me, man.
I understand, but this is a player profile. This is us talking about a guy who,
his profile is starting to become him losing.
His profile is,
I can't give him any more of the love than that. He's just not performing to the to the hype of what he is, bro. And it's ridiculous. But I'm going to let you finish your profile. Go ahead. Because we're running out of time.
He has proven that he is a competent quarterback. He's been an MVP twice. Lamar is very, I think he's very passionate. Lamar is a resilient quarterback. I hope that he continues to do well. He's been playing lights out through his career, and I think he'll continue to do more. I'm going to go ahead and launch over to your last one.
I'm going to expand just a little bit more on Ben's pick real quick. Lamar, this is your last year from me. I can't stand it. Can't stand the fact that people keep on hyping you up, even though it's just not happening. And I'm not saying you're not talented, but I am saying that you need to do better. I need something better. Other than that, you get no more love out of me. But for my last pick, I'm actually trying to keep this one a little bit short and simple, specifically because he's a rookie and there's not really too much to speak on when it comes to him yet. But give Shador a chance, bro. Please give my mans a chance. If he does bad, then he does bad. But what I can't stand is the fact that he's not even given the chance to shine and eat over a couple of these other folks. Dylan Gabriel is not it. That is not, he's not your answer. He's not the end all be all. And I'm not going to say that Shador is going to be either, but Dylan Gabriel wasn't the move. Joe Flacco wasn't the move. And anybody with any common sense would know that. But it seems like the Cleveland Browns are determined to, like, screw themselves. So, like I said, I'm not going to long talk this one. Like I said, there's not too much to give a profile on. I don't want to give a college resume specifically because college doesn't matter anymore. We in the pros, and it's time for you to put some points up on the board. But he's not given the opportunity to. And I feel like as soon as he does, he's going to show out. So just give him a chance. The Browns actually might have a good year this year. And as for my second pick, rookie-wise, it was mainly Cam Ward. I hate the fact that you're in the position that you're in, brother. It's not favorable for anybody. It wasn't favorable for even the best running back that we might see in this generation, Derrick Henry.
Yeah,
it wasn't favorable for DeAndre Hopkins, one of my favorite receivers.
Agreed.
It's just not a favorable situation for anybody, and I hate the fact that he had to be the number one draft pick to go to the Titans. Once again, I'm not going to bring up college because college does not matter anymore. We're in the pros, and the pros is where you put up or shut up. He just doesn't have the opportunity to, just like Shador. Shador doesn't have the opportunity. Neither does Cam Ward. Cam Ward can't do anything through the Titans. And I'm hoping and praying that he gets into a better position very, very soon.
I'm with you.
On that note, Benjamin, do you have anything else to say?
I do not. That's really all I've got. I would like to do these more often, maybe expand a little further. Got a little cut off there, unfortunately, with Lamar. But, I mean, again, there really wasn't a whole lot more to say. But he's one of my guys. Loved him at Louisville. Again, like Will said, college is irrelevant. But I like Lamar. He's a good, resilient quarterback. Regardless of that, though, I don't really have much else to say.
Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Beyond the Numbers. Make sure you follow us on our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you like to go socialize. Follow us and socialize with us. All right. And on that note, with that being said, let's get back to the bread. Peace.